Cape Cod and the Laramie Valley are good places to die. Or at least they have been, and still are, good places to find oneself in dire straits. And this is one of their greatest virtues. The first chapter of Henry David Thoreau's Cape Cod is devoted to the grisly aftermath of a shipwreck. I saw many marble feet and matted heads as the cloths were raised, and one livid, swollen, and mangled body of a drowned girl, who probably had intended to go out in service in some American family, to which some rags were still adhered with a string, half concealed by the flesh about its swollen neck. Cape Cod knows the danger of a northeaster, and Wyoming knows what comes with an upslope, that counterclockwise rotation of winds over the plains capable of holding snowstorms in place for days. Not long after we moved to Laramie, a fierce blizzard shut down the highway south of town. However, a carload of college students, inexperienced about the hazards of winter, bypassed the closed gate. About 20 miles later, they slid off the road into a ditch. There was no hope of getting the car unstuck, and nobody was coming. They were as ill-prepared as the ship's passengers who could not swim. The wind chill was below zero, and the students were doomed to freeze to death by morning. But railroad tracks parallel the highway, and the immobile headlights aimed at an odd angle caught the attention of a conductor on a Union Pacific freight train. He stopped the train, made his way across a quarter mile of frozen prairie, shepherded the youths onto his locomotive, and returned them to town. Such is life and death in places such as Cape Cod in the Laramie Valley. As Thoreau noted, the winds and waves simply followed the order of the day, in a process that was coldly dispassionate, but not cruel, for malevolence entails a kind of caring. The disregard of nature for human suffering and our regard for one another creates places where people must look after one another, or they die. It was not the number of dead that so affected Thoreau. Rather, he recognized that it is the individual in private that demands our sympathy. A mind might be able to compute 100 deaths, but a heart breaks with just one. Our empathetic capacity is filled by one swollen neck. Are we twice as sad to learn that 2 people froze to death last night for want of aid? Wyoming has a Good Samaritan law that requires the first person who comes upon an accident to stop. This is because with 5 people per square mile, which is the equivalent of a population of just 6,500 on all of Cape Cod, there's a decent chance that the next car won't be along for hours. But nobody required a pair of young men to take note of the abandoned car along the highway last winter. Something about the situation struck them as odd, so they called the state police, who found the hypothermic driver who'd wandered off in search of help. And no law required the people of Cape Cod to build shacks along remote beaches in the 1800s. These charity houses were constructed to shelter shipwrecked survivors from the piercing winds of winter storms. I prefer the alternative name for these huts, humane houses, for they were expressions of our humanity. In all likelihood, the builders would not know those who were aided, but they knew somebody was miserable and perhaps dying, which is knowledge deeper than identity. Thoreau learned that colorful rocks plucked from the wet sand, when they were dry, lost their beauty. We might wonder whether disasters wet our souls, giving us the opportunity for a flash of beauty. Just give it time, says the cynic, and the do-gooders will dry out and the aid will dry up. The doubters presume that the real condition of the human soul is dullness, even ugliness. Maybe altruism is transient, but I'll settle for latent goodness. And maybe, if we are wetted again and again, virtue will no longer fade. Perhaps practice makes perfect, or at least better. If so, the Laramie Valley and Cape Cod are fine places to practice.